Hey, you're live. What's up, everyone? Aaron Nagler here, Cheesehead TV, coming to you live on the YouTube channel. Good to see everybody. Some good Joe. Happy Friday, everybody. Obviously, not a ton more to talk about after last night, but there was a report this morning that the NFLPA and the league are making progress after talks into the evening. The PA is gathering this morning to discuss the proposals. Inching closer, there's optimism on both sides. Trying not to jinx it, but I'm getting a little excited. Under the terms of the plan that they're talking about right now, it sounds like the league has kind of acquiesced to the players' demands when it comes to the ramp-up period. Could be a possibility of 21 days of just strength and conditioning, which would basically probably serve as what would have happened during OTAs without the on-field work. And then about 10 days of no pads, just helmets and shorts out on the practice field, and then about 8 to 10 padded practices, and they're off and running, which is kind of crazy to think about. Those numbers will probably change, but that's the ballpark, the structure that they're talking about, which would mean we'd see the Packers, or the media would see the Packers on the practice field probably around August 18th, 19th, 20th, somewhere in that vicinity. So still a lot up in the air, but progress being made, getting closer. Can't wait till it's a done deal and we got some certainty. Good morning to everybody in the comments section. Hello. Nags, Big B was asking who the GOAT is. I think he can search his inner soul to figure that one out, because if there is an arbiter of the GOAT, it is Big B. We all know that. I see your discussions about last night's opener getting rained out. I mean, 2020, you gotta think that was a possibility. But as someone said, as long as the Brewers game doesn't get canceled tonight, I'm all good. You see, I'm geared up. I'm ready. Ready for the opener. Ready for the one day of the year that points out Matt Bowen's fatal flaw, and that's if he's a Cubs fan. Other than that, he's a great guy. Joey, is my memory fading at 12 years old? It probably is, Joey. Or did Devontae Adams absolutely suck years 1 and 2? No. He really fell off a cliff year 2 after the home game against the Lions. The second half in particular of that game was the beginning of his issues his second year. His first year, he was really good for a rookie. He filled in when necessary. He wasn't pressed into a lot of action, but when called upon, he performed pretty damn well. His highlights were probably the Patriots game and the Dallas playoff game. But no, for a rookie, he was pretty damn good and pretty exciting. I think people saw a lot of promise, and that's why it was so frustrating in year 2. But yeah, year 2, he very much struggled. I think it gets overblown a little bit how bad it actually was. That Lions game was terrible. That second half of the home game against the Lions was absolutely putrid, and he'd be the first one to tell you that. But you know, he did struggle with drops. He was a polarizing figure. There's even a moment down in Arizona, I'll never forget it, where Rodgers throws to Adams in the end zone and Adams drops it. And literally there's a shot from field level of TJ Lang turning around and yelling at Aaron Rodgers, "Why did you throw it to him?" I mean, people were so frustrated at that point, but yeah, he did struggle. There's no doubt about it. And now he's one of the best in the league. Something to remember when casting aspersions on, you know, maybe possibly your current wide receiver situation. I'm not talking to you, Joey, but others. Who is your Packers dark horse for the offense this year? Well, I think, Matt, there's nobody who's really a dark horse for anybody sitting here in mid to late July on a YouTube channel. You guys all know all the players involved. But for the average fan who probably doesn't maybe tune in to too much of this kind of stuff during the offseason, I'd say Tyler Irvin. I think he is going to be maybe not a key component, but a good change of pace and a guy who gives them a lot more production than maybe you would think given how little he's talked about. I'm excited for everybody. I'm excited for A.J. Dillon, DeGuara, the wide receivers, getting EQ back. All those guys offer a lot of promise, but to me, Tyler Irvin is a guy who really could unlock something in this offense that they were missing for much of the year last year. Whether that's utilizing him on jet sweeps, straight up, you know, traditionally carrying the football or utilizing him in the passing game, he can give you a lot and can make off defensive coordinators have to worry about him a little bit, open things up a little bit. So, yeah, to me, he's a true dark horse candidate to be just a big surprise, you know. Lee, you just got here. What's close to an agreement? The NFLPA and the NFL are very close, per reports this morning. It's about, you know, one or two issues yet to kind of hammer through, but they're close on not only the schedule, how they're going to ramp up training camp, but also who can opt out, how, what that does to their contracts, what if a guy opts out, what that means for guaranteed salary versus non-guaranteed, etc. Things like that. But they're close. They're very close. I like the name Swerve and Irvin. Yeah, what's so funny is like, Charles Davis said that on the broadcast, I think the first week that they had him, and then it just stuck. Like, was that his name down in Jacksonville? Or did Charles just make that up on the air and it just kind of worked? I don't know. I like it. Is Tremont Williams even an option at this point or no? Joseph, I've talked about this a lot. I think he'll definitely be on their call list if injuries strike. But at this point, you heard Chandon Sullivan, or maybe you didn't, last night, late on Twitter, talking about how the Packers have one of the most talented young secondaries in the league. Now, I know it's the offseason. Guys talk themselves and their teammates up. I understand that. But I do think they're a little bit more talented back there than maybe most people give them credit for. I think Chandon himself is very talented. You guys have heard me talk about Kadar Holman. Yeah, I think Tremont, like I said, if they suffer a rash of injuries at some point at corner, he'll undoubtedly get a call. But at this moment, I think they're going to try and move forward with what they got. Todd Gurley saying NFL season won't finish this year. Your thoughts? Tommy, my thoughts are he's allowed to have his thoughts. We'll see. I mean, sure. Who was it? Oh, Ross Uglum, who used to work right for us and now is over at Packer Report. He had a great tweet the other day, or set of tweets. He was like, look, everyone who pops into every single chat or tweet or message board or whatever, when people are talking football, and to randomly just insert, well, it doesn't matter, the season's not going to happen anyway, or they're never going to finish the season. We get it. You're a pessimist. Duly noted. No one cares. I am of the opinion that they're going to make it work. They got a ton of people who are really smart. They have consulted with every medical expert possible. They have more money than God. If there's one entity that can make it work in the middle of a fucking pandemic, it's the NFL. So I'm going to choose to be optimistic. Todd Gurley can choose to be pessimistic. Obviously, he has more reason than anybody to be pessimistic because it's his body on the line, along with the bodies of his family members, etc. If he were to be, you know, exposed to COVID-19, I understand that. So if he does feel that way, he is going to be most likely able to opt out. And away he goes. So, you know, I'm all in, man. I have confidence that the NFL is going to pull it off. But we'll see. Nathan, thanks to the super chat. Kevin King was a shutdown cornerback in the red zone. Part of the reason we had great red zone defense. Not all just luck. I agree. I think his length really helps him there. You know, he certainly struggled at times between the 20s, giving up easy completions, especially underneath. If you listen to Pax What She Said, which I highly recommend you do, Perry had a good note where she talked about how they defended the sidelines really well up and down the field. It was the middle of the field, which we all know anecdotally, where they really struggled. But yeah, I think the red zone, yes, they were absolutely lights out in the red zone. I think it helps that they flood the field with bodies more often than not. It's very rare that Patton sends a lot of pressure. A lot of times he'll go three-man rush and just drop eight. But I do think Kevin and his length as an athlete really helps them in that regard. Big B, I hate people like that. No, it's just, I don't hate them. It's just like, we get it, man. You know, if you want to be a doom sayer, like portender of doom, go. That's great, man. That's your prerogative. But you don't need to come in every chat and every tweet and every moment online where people are just discussing football and say, well, the season's not going to happen anyway. Like, okay, great. Duly noted. Bye. It just kind of baffles me. Name a player you were all in on and they fizzled out. Oh, you know who? Charles Lee. Was that his name? The wide receiver who was in camp competition with Donald Driver back in the day. I was dating a girl who is also a big, huge Packers fan, which in hindsight was probably a mistake. But we had this ongoing competition during training camp and the preseason. I was all in on, was it? I think it was Charles Lee. That's how like forgettable he was, because he never even made the squad. But and Donald Driver and he were kind of vying for that last receiver spot. And I was like, no, you don't know what you're talking about. Donald Driver, he's nothing. Like, whatever. Seventh round pick, he's going to get cut. And then, of course, Donald Driver went on to become the all-time leading wide receiver with the Packers. And whoever my guy was just faded into oblivion. So that would be a guy that I would think of off the top of my head. Please don't let Jace be the next one. Man, you know, here we go. Here we go. People got to come in here and get negative. You know, you go ahead. It's all good, man. You got to do what you got to do. I understand. Just put it out there, man. Just let people know. Clip this for the internet. Jace Sternberger is going to fucking ball out next season. So just relax. And see. William, thanks for the super chat. How many games would we win if we had Prime Clay? Woo. I mean, many. Probably as many as last year, 13. I don't know. I mean, pass rush really isn't their problem, right? I mean, they're already going to have to try and get Sean Gary on the field, you know? But yeah, I think he'd be a fun toy to have. At this point, it's kind of superfluous to requirements, but yeah, it'd be fun. I've been with my girl for 6 years. She's a diehard Bears fan. It's the most fun relationship I've had. There you go. Baseball is back. Brew Crew, still the best logo in baseball. I said best. I didn't say iconic. Corey, I very much agree. How important was the year off for McCarthy? Is there always more to learn after decades of coaching? Oh, Daniel, absolutely. I think any coach would tell you that. We'll see how important that year off was. You know, it's going to be interesting to kind of track how that unfolds down in Dallas. If for no other reason than he's not calling plays. Now, you have to think, obviously, his imprint will be on the offense, but he's not the play caller. He's going back to 2012 when he was the quote-unquote CEO type coach, overseer, you know? And it just never seemed to suit Mike, but maybe it does down in Dallas. Maybe because he doesn't have to be the face of the franchise like he was in Green Bay, that allows him to just, you know, coach the team, so to speak, and maybe that helps him. I don't know. I think it's fascinating, but I definitely think if you saw any of the NFL Network stuff or the stuff that Rob did for ESPN when Mike was – before Mike got the job and he was putting together his new playbooks and had his coaching fraternity brothers, so to speak, kind of over at the house every day. That was really fascinating stuff. I highly recommend you check that out. Like the video, people. William, thank you. Yes, hit like. Hit subscribe. Do I see the Packers picking up Taylor Gabriel? No, I do not. I really wanted them to this offseason. That was somebody I continually talked about and circled on, mentioned on Twitter, etc. But at this point, this is their crew. This is their squad. These are the guys they like. Now, as I always say, maybe if there is a rash of injuries, they give him a call, but I doubt it. If they were going to make that move, they would have done it during proper free agency. Nags, thanks for liking my comment on IG. Made my day. Tony, no problem, buddy. Thanks for leaving it. Go Pack, go. What happens when teams find entire position groups out with COVID-19? They'll have to adjust. This is what I'm talking about, man. Can we just let things happen? I mean, let me get my crystal ball out here for a second. They weep uncontrollably and curse the gods. That's what they're going to do. No, I don't know. They're going to keep going. That's why they're going to have an expanded practice squad so they can bring guys up. They're going to pray that a meteorite hits them. That's what they're going to do. I don't know. Kevin King is underrated with the fan base. Yes. Yes, he is. Especially the fan base on Twitter. No doubt about it. Does Swerve and Irvin return one to the house this year? I think we're due. Man, they've been due for a long time. Yeah, I hope so. That'd be great. God, that'd be great. He came close to busting one or two last year, but yeah, maybe, you know, whatever the training camp schedule ends up being, maybe they get a good kind of amount of practice time in there on special teams and they get them loosened up and freed. That'd be great. Does the mirror ball tell you that Rashawn Gary is not a bust? Yes, it does. He's just got to get on the field. If you look at any metric, any number that you want to use, You like look at his game last year. When he played, he was effective. You want to look at the tape. The tape shows real promise. But then people want to point at a lack of production. Well, yeah, he wasn't on the field. When he was on the field, he played well. Just got to get on the field. That's down to the coaching staff. When was our last punt return for a touchdown anyway? I believe it was Micah Hyde. Back when Micah was still here. I've been praying for a meteorite for years. Yeah, you and me both, Matt. Who's your favorite coach on the staff not named Matt LaFleur? Walter Williams, is this Matt LaFleur's burner account? Favorite coach? At this point, probably Jerry Gray, because his availability was so awesome. But no, I'll go with Nathaniel Hackett. I really like Nathaniel. If for no other reason than he's a monster Star Wars fan like me. It happened at Cleo's. What's up? You made it. Regular on the trivia, joining us here on Packers Daily. My favorite 87 is Robert Brooks. Had a monster 1995 year and then tore his ACL in 96. What could have been. Yeah, and that birthed the classic, the iconic game day video game commercial where he gets caught from behind and he gets up and looks at the developers and says, "That don't show my breakaway speed." And one of the guys says, "Our numbers show that you've lost a step." And then he throws the controller down in disgust and leaves the room. One of the best commercials ever. But yeah, he was kind of like Jordy Nelson that way. And that, you know, Jordy came back and had a monster year, obviously. But then after that monster year, never really captured it again. And Robert was amazing. Favre's go-to guy. And then the injury robbed him of his explosiveness. Stanley, thanks for the super chat. Good morning, Nags. How about you eat a damn salad? Amen. Amen, brother. Luke Getsy, baby. Yeah, I like Luke. Looks good, peeps. Aaron Rodgers loves him. Hackett's had some good energy. Love him, too. Yeah, absolutely. I was just about to say Robert Brooks was legit in game day. He was, man. He was a monster. He used to utilize him on the post route all the time. Did you ever get to meet Jordy Nelson? Seems like one of the nicest, most down-to-earth guys in the NFL. I did, Daniel. Funnily enough, true story, I met him in the lobby of the team hotel down in Dallas when I was on the beat. And Randall Cobb introduced me because I knew Randall. I've known Randall basically since he came into the league. I had never met Jordy. And they were walking together. He said, "Oh, this is Aaron Nagler from Cheesehead TV." And that's how we met. And yes, he is incredibly nice, gracious, really good dude. As nice as he appears in his media availabilities. Arthur, thanks for the super chat. No preseason? We want Tim Boyle Laser Show. Well, yes, we all are going to miss Tim Boyle Laser Show. However, I got to think no preseason probably means Tim Boyle sticks around. Hopefully we don't have to see him at all during the regular season other than when the Packers are winning by 45 and he gets some mop-up duty. Because I do think he'll stick around because of the fact that they have had no offseason and Jordan Love is going to have very minimal amount of time to get trained up, so to speak. So, yeah, it's sad we don't get the preseason to see some of these guys, but it's understandable. Year two of LaFleur's offense, year two of Gary and Jace, added AJ and DeGuara. I'm super excited to see what we can do this season. I am with you, man. There are all sorts of potential. I do think that year two in the system is going to, I mean, especially given the fact that there's so much continuity in an offseason where they didn't get to work on the field a whole lot, they should be well-positioned. There's no doubt about that. Oh, AM. AM looking to get the big B wrath of God on him. Jamal Williams is overrated. We should cut him. Well, I'm not going to get into overrated, underrated, because that goes into who's doing the rating. But Jamal Williams is a really talented football player, and he is dirt cheap on the last year of his deal. It would be asinine to cut him. Now, if a team called about a trade, yeah, you probably listen. But to just outright cut him, that's stupid. Jacob, thanks for the super chat. What are your thoughts on Kevin King? Vastly underrated by a lot of Packers fans. He's really good. He uses his length well. He's struggles sometimes between the 20s when giving things up underneath because he doesn't want to get beat deep because he doesn't have elite speed. He gets targeted a hell of a lot more than Jair because people are avoiding Jair. So because of that, fan base hates him. But I think he's super talented and greatly underappreciated. Now, all of that said, I think it's going to be tough for the Packers to retain him because of all the other guys they got to pay. But we'll see. it'll help that he stayed healthy all year last year. If he can do that again this year, he should be in for a big payday. If not in Green Bay, somewhere else. Javier, thanks for the super chat. Just because no one has brought it up today, BJ Raji. Always a great day to bring up BJ Raji. All right, I got to go. Thanks so much, everybody. I'm sorry if I couldn't get to your questions. There's so many of them. 122 folks sitting here on a July Friday morning just chatting some Packers. Love each and every one of you. Thank you so much. Please hit like on the video. Subscribe to the channel. Consider giving us $5 a month on our Patreon account, patreon.com/cheeseheadtv. We're going to be ramping up tons of content during the season. Every little bit helps. Thank you so much. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great day. Go Pack, go.